So I better do the intro for our guest.
Yeah.
Probably heard he's coming on the show. Oh, giving it away, it's a boy.
As far as we know. Like, or it's a big old girl.
Legs like that, could be. He has been on the show. He came on the live Guinness Fuller's podcast last year. 74 caps, one Grand Slam, one rugby championship.
Well done.
An OBE.
Well done.
Lions captain 2013, Australia, the youngest captain. Again, captain in 2017. Wales' second ever youngest captain.
Behind Sir Gareth.
Oh.
Holds the record for most games as Wales captain. He's already got a book out. He's been OBE'd. And now he just bloody can't be bothered to play anymore.
Yeah, exactly. It's quite hard though, isn't it, playing?
Sam Warburton.
Good morning, boys. Yeah, great to
welcome,
be here.
Welcome. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Sorry, Sam Warburton, OBE. I mean, you do use the OBE, don't you?
Don't miss that out again, Shanks.
I won't, mate.
I don't think you can beat OBE. I don't think that's a verb.
Well, you can. Oh, I was going to say, you can't beat it. You can be knighted.
That's coming, isn't it? Have you thought about that?
It goes, yeah, not that I've looked into it, but it goes M-O-C, Sir. So M is the entry, O is next, CBE.
Yes. You're at second base.
So yeah, second base.
You jumped MBE, so
you could jump from OBE to... Yeah, I don't know what the criteria is.
A lot of charity walks, mate.
Charity walks and Twitter followers.
John O'Groats to Land's End, that's what you've got to do.
You need to be the new Botham.
Yeah, have a chat with Botham. You know,
See what he did.
Beefy would tell you how to get a knighthood, because then that changes everything, doesn't it?
I feel guilty having it, because I was there. And you go inside, it's not like a green room, but like the green room, you know, you go in and like you're sort of waiting with everyone. And
who are you waiting with? Do we know anyone?
Don't think anybody that you'll know, no. And then...
It's war veterans.
Yeah, well, that's it. So people are saying, oh, so what are you here for? And you start chatting, and one guy's like, oh, I've done 20 years of service for the Navy as a pilot. So you think, oh my God, what he's seen and like, you know, good and bad deaths and stuff and what he's been through with him and his family. Then what have you done? I'm like,
cut the jackals,
play rugby, like carry tackle. I felt so guilty. And there's people there who were like, one woman was on the same day, same group. She's like, oh, she was 70, which is amazing for her. She's got an MBE, and she voluntarily fostered over 60 children, just off her own bat. Yeah, would foster them for a couple of years until they found a better home. And
incredible.
So like, you know, these are people who are getting these things, and there's. It's me, so I was like, "Oh no, I felt."
I'm most famous for getting a red card.
Yeah, I got sent. I got sent off and didn't complain about it. That's what it was.
What a good bloke!
I mean,
you're gonna get OB'd, aren't you? If Prince William's coming in the change room asking for Warby.
Yeah, of course you are.
Is Warby here?
Thing is, Haskell will be next. Haskell will be next, and that'll dilute all your achievements.
Yeah.
you'll be gone. There won't mean anything. Yeah. That's why Shanks and I turned down the OBE, didn't we, for services to podcastery.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they said thank you for dumping another meaningless podcast into the big sort of outer space bucket with 98 million podcasts in it that no one listens to. Thank you for that. Here's an OBE, but we were busy that day, weren't we?
Flat out
Q&A in Aberystwyth.
That's understandable.
You haven't got an OBE or an MBE, have you?
No,
got BMW.
Was
it at the Palace?
So quite fortunate. I was at the Palace. You don't know who's going to give it to at the time. So we turned up, and on the screen, because they have like, there was like an hour ceremony before us, then we were next, there was people after us, and then so they show you the big screen, it was Prince William. So I was quite chuffed with that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's just cool.
Without like, you know, it's quite nice, because without having to make small talk with him, because we've, you know, you would have met him loads of times yourself. He's always in the changing room. You can actually just...
Hello, mate.
I think the badge...
Do you come over the top for a handshake?
Yeah. Bro! Honestly, well, they say...
1, 2, 3, 4, I went for more.
You turn up, and they're like, oh, right, so... Oh, they go through this full thing, like, right, you turn up, you walk, then you stand facing forwards, you wait till the tannoy says your name, you turn, bow, forward 3 steps, he puts your hand out, then you bow again, you take 3 steps back, and the people messing this up because they just didn't...
Of course.
They said, don't acknowledge him. When he speaks to you, you say, Your Royal Highness or Sir.
so like you can only refer to him as that. And then he was chatting to me, and I remember at one point I just went, "Oh, mate!" And like I didn't even think about it. I thought I just called him mate, but like he didn't care.
Did he give you a little wink? Go, "All right, China. Nice to see you again."
Yeah. But yeah, it was nice. You know that he was there to get it, because we've met quite a few times. He's been a great supporter of Welsh Rugby, so it was nice.
Did you steal anything or borrow? Like toilet paper or.
No, but yeah,
I can imagine it's quilted there.
No, I didn't actually use the toilet.
Get any food there?
No food.
What?
No food. No, I was at Photos, and they were great though. To be fair, you turn up, and I thought it was gonna be really like, I don't want to sound rude at all, but you think it's gonna be very like formal,
officious,
posh,
a few
pompous people there.
Yeah.
It was so laid back, and they were all so friendly, so nice. They made it really like a nice, relaxing feel. And everybody said the same thing. They couldn't believe actually how enjoyable it was.
Really?
And they made it really nice for each person individually.
A lot of corgis running around, I'd imagine, or not?
No, I wish there was. I love dogs, you know me. But yeah, no, yeah. No
is
corgis.
It, it's right,
I love
I think,
her.
That one of Princess Anne is Zara's mum, isn't it? One you of her know. English bull terriers, I think it was Floella, killed one of the Queen's corgis, ran in the house and...
Genuine,
yeah, killed it. I think. I mean, this is allegedly, but I think that is true. So that she's got has these litters of royal English bull terriers, and I've got an English bull terrier. So every now and again, Zara or Tins be like, "Are they having a litter? Do you want one?" It's like, "I really want one, but I can't have one. I got two dogs, and they're twats as it is." So it's like, unless I work, but they're both pooed in the sitting room last night. Excellent.
Are they?
Yeah, got up this morning.
Oh,
good
that
stuff.
Was trained then.
But don't we all? But then
always blames the dogs.
Yeah, but then
so easy.
But what they're saying is, you know, this litter is a bloodline to Floella, and Floella's taken two scalps.
Yeah.
I think one sheep and one Queen's Corgi. Yeah. You're like, right.
That's a good hit list, mind, isn't it?
Yeah,
did you do you get a new suit made for the occasion? Yeah.
Yeah, no, I got a new suit. You have to, so I got a nice new suit and stuff.
Three piece
suit.
So Haskell, that, isn't it?
Yeah. Contrast waistcoat with a coat, yeah.
Oh,
double lapel.
Bright pink buttonholes.
Yeah.
Cheers, our kid.
It wasn't a free one from the WRU. That's what all the boys do. You see, if you look at the boys' Instagrams, you can see so many guys, they're just wearing their free edition suits from there, from the international.
I don't know if I mentioned this before, but one of the games we played at the Millennium Stadium, as it was years ago, I think it might have been against Australia. And obviously after the game, sometimes you're allowed out. We all go out in our Welsh blazers. They got the three feathers on there. Gethin Jenkins didn't even play in the game. Was at home watching it, but got dressed in his number ones and come out and met us.
John Terry?
Yeah.
John Terry, JT26. Yeah. Oh, no.
Just so he'd get all the applause and pats on the back.
Oh, no.
Oh,
that was
amazing.
That is shocking.
Yeah.
That is shocking, but I like it.
Yeah, very.
I remember Stephen Donald, Kiwi Fluff, came to Bath when I was there, the Beaver, and... a properly great bloke, like a genuinely amazing bloke. You'd love him. You couldn't not love him. But he was kind of, I don't want to be too derogatory towards him here, he was kind of like a low-functioning homeless alcoholic. Is that too aggressive? It was like, you look at him and you're like, pro athlete. I mean, he kind of had guns on him. But
like Phil Mitchell working in the
it was
Archers.
Like this guy, I remember with the coach saying, "Mate, you look like you haven't got a home to go to. Do you ever get a home to go to?" And he's like, "Well, no, I had a couple of beers last night, but I did go home." You know. Anyway, he'd go out, and he was an all black through and through because he would only wear black. So he'd have black trout, black everything at all times. Only he looked not like the man from Milk Tray. He looked like he was wearing 15-year-old black clothes. And it turns out, basically,
short of a few bob either,
not
he?
Short of a few bob. He's top player in the league, we heard, and all that sort of
was
stuff. It? Then went to Japan and all that sort. Yeah. So he did done very well. Won a World Cup with the All Blacks. It turns out the only clothes he wore were the kit of the team he was playing for during the day and All Black standard issue kit that he got in the World Cup. Black t-shirts, black shirts, black jeans, black shoes.
I can't do that.
And he would not buy any clothes. And he's like, "Where'd you buy your clothes?" He's like, "Oh, man, I wouldn't know where to go and get like a pair of jeans, a t-shirt, nothing."
Oh, man, if I was going home from training, say I was in Blues kit, because you've got to wear your Blues kit home because you can't be any like competitor, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You can't
go
wearing Adidas, for example, if you're playing at the Blues. So, but if like the missus was like, "Oh, right, you need to get some milk and bread on my own," I'd have to go home, get changed into casual gear, then go to the shops. If the boys caught you in Blues gear.
You didn't want to be that bloke, did you?
Oh, I can't be a full kit.
Going to
Full kit flanker.
I can't be a full kit flanker after training, so I wouldn't dare go into a shop and stuff.
It's the worst. Not like even like as a past player now, I feel really strange if I was going to put like some Blues kit on and just go for a coffee.
Well, I had one of those.
Just you can't do it.
It feels strange, doesn't it?
I can't wear kit anymore, no.
I wear it for gardening.
Yeah.
I had a nightmare a couple of months ago where I was in the just little fitness first gym in Bath doing a pretend workout, sort of sitting mainly still, but still sweating, so you look like you're doing it. And I had a pair of Bath rugby shorts on from the old days when I played, just a pair of cheap old shorts, a knackered, a really old, like from 1938. And I had a pair of those on in the gym. And a couple of the Bath lads walked in. A couple of them I knew quite well, like Charlie Yules and whatever. There's a couple of guys, like academy boys. I knew who they were, didn't know them that well. And I walked past and I didn't think that these boys are the sort to give banter to an ex-pro, whatever, because I don't know them that well. And I was just like, are they going to notice? I was like, oh, no, I can't believe I wore these. And all I heard from behind me was, play for Bath, did you? I'm out. Cut it out. Gone. It's like, fancy a coffee in town. I was like, I'm going to shoot back. I can't do it. Cannot walk through town with that.
That's what I worry about, yeah.
I have that every time. Like, when you go away on a little boys' trip or a golf trip, like, Under Armour bags are really good, aren't they?
They're so good.
Yeah. And I take that with me. And then it's obviously got your name on it.
Your squad number.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's part of my life, so I'm not ashamed of it. Just...
I'm a legend, sue me.
anyway, where's your OBE medal? What have you done with that?
Oh, at the moment, it's just in the kitchen. I'm at my house then out, so I wouldn't mind.
Just in the drawer, is it, with the knives?
Yeah, at the minute, it's just in the utensils drawer. No, it's not.
It's in your man drawer.
It's in the man drawer at the minute. Now, you got to wait till
the batteries and a Nokia charger.
I thought, like, you go in my house, you wouldn't know I played rugby. I don't want, like, memorabilia up everywhere, so there's, like, I want to do a little extension where I do, like, a little study room, and I'll have, like, a wall of stuff on there out the way.
Need but other than that, now,
I
don't
want stuff. Big old study. Yeah.
Need a study now.
Oh,
so
God, I got a little one now. See, that's why I need it.
Yeah, but
you're thinking of.
You're not playing rugby anymore, are you?
Well, look, my wife's an accountant as well, so she can do all the invoicing.
Oh,
and
brilliant.
Honestly, it's a lifesaver.
That's
that.
So handy.
It is good, you know, tax.
We have to pay Michelle to do that, don't we?
Yes.
And we pay her 20% of every pound we earn, we have to pay to her to do our invoicing. That's all she does, isn't it? Pretty much.
She charges you 20, does she?
12%.
Yeah. 3%. So retired. Came out a little bit out of the blue. I know you've done a lot of media on this. There's a great article in the Times, wasn't it, by I think Stephen James. Did it. But we all thought you were gonna be fit. You were looking good, you were training, then out of the blue we hear this announcement that it's no longer.
That you can't be arsed in this.
Yeah. just carved up the corporate world for a year and realised this is actually super duper easy.
I was like,
I've got a Mercedes to pick me up.
Just doing guns and cashing checks. Yeah.
Just doing wads and.
Oh, dear.
Going down the cash and carry.
So what happened then?
So I basically had the time off. I came back with the WIU at about. In April, they said, right, we need to do a little bit now. You can't have 9 months off and come back to the pre-season because you're on the physio bed every day. You need to get back into training. So did about 4 to 5 weeks of training with the WIU, which went really well. But I did it, and I was still getting problems in my knees with the physio. So I had to go and get a couple of jabs in each knee.
Cortisone jabs.
They were like, like a cortisone.
When you said problems, what, the jarring or just?
Just pain, just general pain. Like in my, because I had a cartilage op when I was 19, so I don't know, I'd hang on 10 years.
You have. It's like bone on bone type pain.
Yeah, it's just, I said it feels like I was running on concrete all the time. That's the only way I can explain it, you know? And I was trying to do like dynamic movements, I couldn't do them. So I had the injections, couple of weeks off, back in with the blues, did a cut about a week there, and I was like, still bad, still getting symptoms in my neck. And I was just thinking, like, it's just not worth the risk. I can't say, but there's a player I was chatting to who's had a significant nerve injury in his neck. I'm like, I don't want that to be me now. You know, I got a little family and that, and I just think it's not, I didn't want to damage my body anymore. I was going to training, and it was weird, like my mindset, I was more worried about the damage I was doing to my body than I was trying to become a better athlete, you know? It was just like, my mindset just wasn't there then, but I was adamant I was going to come back and go World Cup. I remember I was like making breakfast before one day training, or might have even day one, and I never won Six Nations Player of the Year, and it's something I've always wanted to win. I see boys who win it, I'm like, oh, I'd love to win that. And I was like, right, I gotta win that this year, like from like a selfish individual goal.
Yeah.
I thought I want to do that, and I'd love to be nominated World Player of the Year. I know that it's ambitious, but I was like, that's so, like, in my mind I was there. I trained for a week then after my injections, and I just went straight back, leapfrogged straight back to where I was before, and I was like, I just knew physically
that.
I wasn't there. And like I said before, like, I'm not a skillful player. I'm not going to go throw in like Danny Cipriani passes like we saw on the weekend. Like, that's not me. If I can't, like,
I play rugby because I.
You're a specimen. You can't bash people.
Edwards always says, like, you know, I love it when he says, "Right, you want, you need to hurt people legally." Like, you know, I love that. I could defend all day. I love defending. And I'm like, I'm not going to be able to throw myself into contact like I want to, and I don't want to be remembered as a player who sort of wilted away. You know, so I just that was what was going through my mind, really.
Fire in the belly, ice in the head. That's how I played.
Such a trying to have a proper chat. Yeah. You can't have a proper chat with him. Never chat about anything serious with him.
Discipline mad dogs.
So you make the decision to do that, right? Yeah. Who do you how do you make it? Where are you sort of sitting when you make it? Because a lot of people are actually, you imagine you're going to be at home with your family or with your head coach, but a lot of people are on the physio bed and they just sit there and know, I'm done.
Can I say the F word on this?
Yeah, you can, yeah.
You just bleep it.
Yeah, fine.
So I remember I went home on a Tuesday and I was on the trampoline, my little one, and I was sore anyway. And like, you have like muscle soreness, like DOMS, which you used to from day, that's fine. But this is like different joint soreness. I was on the trampoline, my little one. My wife was still in work. And I just went to like, she was like, "Daddy, stand up." And I was like, I was lying down. I do this thing where I can bounce on my back. It's so much easier, like stand up and bounce with the kids when you have days training, it's hard work. So I was like, no, daddy, sit down. And she said, "Daddy, stand up." So I was trying to stand up. I was literally peeling myself off the trampoline, trying to stand up. My knees were killing. I was trying to jump and my knees were hurting at the front. And I was like, I couldn't bounce on it. I was like, "Daddy can't jump, baddie knee, ouchy knee, daddy, ouchy knee." And she was going mad, wanting me to jump. I was like, I can't even bounce on the trampoline with her. And then at that point then I struggled that day's training as well, and I was waiting for my wife to come home. I knew, I was like, I'm gonna have to tell her, and she's gonna think it's out of the blue as well, because she was like, because I was so determined for the last 6 months. She knew I was in a bad place going back 12 months, you know, before recently, but the last 6 months I've been fine. So I said to her, and she wasn't surprised because she knew what I was like prior, you know, last season. And then I texted my agent. I was like, "Mate," I sent him a long text. I was like, "Don't ring me back, because if you ring me, I'm probably going to get upset." Because I found it was hard to finally admit, like, sort of smell the coffee and realize I couldn't do it. So I said, "Don't ring me back. Just I'll speak to you in the morning." So he rang me in the morning. Then we just basically got the ball rolling, made contact with Warren Gatland. He was the first person I had to speak to, and then the Blues head coach, the CEO at the Blues, and WIU knew. Told the head of medical teams at Blues and W's. There's only six people new.
Yeah.
So basically, head of medical team, both coaches, both CEOs. And then it went through the formality with the WIU. They said, "Right, we're going to release it Wednesday." So then Tuesday night, I only text a couple of the lads just out of courtesy to let them know. And that was it. And it was kept under wraps until about Wednesday morning. You know, things start leaking out in the morning and stuff. But yeah, it was good. And then I was off to Italy then, by coincidence, I was usher for a family wedding. So I was out of the country then, so it worked out okay. It did work out. That's not why we did it for that time, just coincidence. But so that was it, really. So it did happen really quick, which is why I think it surprised so many people. It did happen really quick, but it was a relief when it was done.
I bet it was. Yeah.
Just like you boys be the same. Just the sense of freedom when you finish playing.
Yeah.
Because like you've been having this, you know, it's very regimental.
You've been in the army, basically.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's like, you know, you've got to be at 8 o'clock this time, and if you're there 8:05, you're £50 fine. If you've got the wrong socks on, you're getting fine. You know, like you're used to that routine for 10, 12 years.
It feels strange, doesn't it? Because like on a Monday or Tuesday, you wake up and you're quite relaxed because there's a few days to a game, but then sort of Thursday, Friday, you start to get a little bit nervous and you start to think about the game. But all of a sudden then, when that's not there, you can relax really the whole week, knowing that it's not the pressure of having a game on the weekend.
But a lot of people think, like I remember hearing footballers when I was still playing saying, I missed the buzz, that's why I'm doing this antisocial thing, or that's why I'm in trouble, or they missed the buzz. I hardly know any retired rugby players who miss it. It doesn't mean we didn't love it. I loved it like you boys did. I haven't missed it for a second. I just felt pure, like, glad I walked away from it. And without being too blunt about it, didn't wheel myself away from it like some people did. Walked away from it with a few injuries. That's fine. One of my hands is numb. Who cares? But it's like, you've got those too. But actually, you quit sort of on your own terms, almost, in decent nick. And the relief of pressure is just beautiful.
It's beautiful. Yeah. It's good to hear, because like, people think, if they hear you say that, they might think, like, well, you're taking your career for granted. Like, you're living the dream doing what you're doing. It's like, no, like you say, you love
loved it.
You love what you're doing. But it gets to a point where you're like, I just can't keep putting my body through this. Like, I just can't keep doing it. And like, I'm actually really happy I finished. I feel guilty when the boys are saying, how does it feel retirement? When I'm just chatting to the lads now, I don't want to tell them the real answer, because I'm like, well, I love it, to be honest, at the moment. I love what I've done, and I'm going to miss spending time with them.
Yeah, you miss going in every day.
Yeah, I miss the, like, chatting to them and being on away trips with them and sharing victories with them. Like, of course, you're not going to replace that, but, like, it is, like, people say, oh, I bet you're going to miss it. I'm like, no, I don't want to sound naive. I don't think I will, because I'm not going to forget what it takes to get back to that level. It's a lot of hard work and effort.
Yeah, I mean,
we often
think, could we get back to a level of decent fitness? Yeah.
Me, yes, you know.
No.
But I could get back to the level of fitness I was when I was at my peak, because it was only about 3% fitter than I am now.
But just quickly, which hand is numb?
Well, half of my right hand is numb.
The one with the nail varnish on?
Yes.
Yeah.
I've shaved.
I'm glad you're enjoying this, Will, because it is a form of counselling. That's why we got you in, you know, to make sure.
People can't tell there's three other people with notepads behind us. Yeah.
Shaking their heads and making crosses on their paper. This is bad.
That's why we hooked you up to a heart rate monitor. And
the thing is, you've always been fit and strong, and you can still do that. You can still be fit and strong. You can still
I still want to be active. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you can still do all that, and it will, you know, it will drop in intensity a bit, because you're not having to nail people anymore, smash people about. But it's just... You're right. It's like I spent quite a while saying how devastated I was to people, like my parents.
Because you feel it's the right thing to say.
Yeah.
And you feel guilty. Yeah.
I was in this hotel in Manchester, and I was doing some TV thing, and I'd been retired about a month or whatever it was. First game of the season, I was doing TV, whatever. And I remember sitting there, I texted someone, and I texted him back. I think it was Stuart Hooper, actually, who played at Bath. I said, I think I've just lied to you there. I actually love it.
I know.
I'm actually really, really glad I'm not a rugby player anymore.
Yeah.
I loved playing. I was mega up for it all the time. Trained hard all the time. Now I'm really, really glad I'm not doing it anymore.
But you still love the game, just in a different way.
I think the biggest difference is that when you get older, there's more injuries, and you know, you're putting your body through a lot more strain. I think when you're young and you're carefree and your body's fine, that's what I miss the most. Like running out and training when there's no issues with your body at all. When I look back now and I think of training,
that's years
and playing
ago,
with bad, yeah, it is. Bad knees, bad shoulders.
Yeah.
They're not so fond.
Yeah. I remember being, I was with, we were at Saracens. I'd have been 20, 21 years old. And I was probably a bit like you, Warby. I don't remember. But I was, everyone plays their 100th game for their club. And you see these guys running out first for their 100th game or whatever it is. And they're 25, 26. You know, I played my 100th game when I was 21 at Sarri. So straight out of school. So I played loads of rugby in the front row from 18 onwards.
Like Michael Owen, weren't you? The footballer.
Michael Owen. And it's unfortunately, he made it. But my body packed in because of that for 3.5 years off I had, or 3 years off or something. So that's the way it goes. But I remember being 2021, and like we were doing, you know, we're jogging around the pitch to warm up, and Francois Pienaar was our captain then and our head coach and stuff at Sarri's. And I remember him running behind me saying, "What is wrong with you?" And he's like, "You look like you're running on eggshells." I'd never heard that expression before. And at 20, 21 years old, my ankles and knees were just ruined, and they were sore. Pretty much until I was 32 when I retired, and jabs everywhere, full of needles.
Do you know what? Like
a cart horse, that was a thoroughbred.
Yeah.
I was like, say I'm walking a dog. I said this in an article the other day. Sorry to repeat myself, if anyone's read it, but like people see you walking a dog on a Wednesday morning. So you typically have a midweek day off when you're a rugby player. You go like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday off, Thursday, Friday, play Saturday. So you're walking around on a Wednesday. So people just see you on a Wednesday off walking the dog, and I'll see like some builders, and they go, "Oh, Sam, like, I don't know." And they'd be like, "Oh, you're living the dream and all that." And like, it's like, yeah, obviously you're privileged and like, you do know you're so fortunate for Wales. But I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, they've only been complimentary. But in my head, I'm thinking, you've got no idea, mate. You don't realise I'm in pain walking the dog right now.
Yeah.
And I've been slated in the press for the game on the weekend. And I'm nervous now for the game on Saturday. And I'm finding training really difficult. And I got to shoot off to London tonight to do a sponsor's appearance. I got to come back and train Thursday morning. I'm like, you don't know, they don't see
all
that.
4 hours kip straight in the gym.
Yeah, the little one's up last night three times or...
Yeah.
And then you're like, all they see is you walking the dog on a midweek and then playing for Wales on the telly.
They're at work, you're walking the dog. And you play on telly at the weekends, living the dream.
I mean, someone said that to Ed Sheeran. It would be true, wouldn't it? You know,
exactly. They don't work. They know what work is. Them lot.
But yeah, that's it. I feel bad because obviously, like, I love what you do, innit? You love what you do, innit?
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, it's there's some difficult.
But also,
to
you
it.
Know, sorry, Shanko. You know when you've had it. Like, I mean, you knew when you were trying to come back and you're on that trampoline and you're training and it's just you're just going backwards and everything hurts, and hurting is fine, but it's like, actually, I need to be better than I've ever been. to maintain my position, and I know my body can't do that.
Yeah.
It's not about willpower, it's about your body's gone. Yeah. That's why no 50-year-olds are playing in the Premiership or in the Pro 14 or playing for Wales. You know, there's a reason for it. But I actually had the whole last season I played for Bath, and I knew, like, we had fitness scores. I was never the fittest. My fitness scores were better than ever. My weightlifting scores were better than ever. I was still a fat git, but I was leaner than I'd ever been. I was in the green zone, so I wasn't even fat camp.
Well, you mentioned the F word twice. After
have I?
That out. Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Did you?
Fat.
Fat. Oh, sorry. Can't say fat anymore. Yeah. I was bigger. I was well furnished. But I knew, so my shoulders were knackered and I couldn't bind in the scrum. And I was running out there every weekend in my last season for Bath. And I had a 3-year deal. This was year one of a 3-year deal. Running out. And but halfway through the season, I was asking the coach to stop picking me. I was like, I'm actually embarrassed now. I can't bind in the scrum, not because I'm not trying, because my arms don't go up there.
Yeah.
I'm strong enough, they just don't move. So I knew I'd had it. And then it almost like I got this injury, which was like, oh my God, this is awful. You can't play anymore. And about 5 minutes after they said you can't play anymore, I rang my dad and was like, mate, just so you know. And my dad was like, oh, thank God for that.
That's what my mum said, yeah.
Yeah,
it
thank
is.
God for
yeah.
that. Yeah, you've had it, mate.
They worry
you can
about
you. Can
you
tell you've had, well, you can know, it's like you can tell you've had it.
Yeah.
The rugby's still all right. I was never a great player, but the main thing you had was scrummaging, and you can't bind anymore. You've had it, mate. Yeah. So
and they would have watched you know, from a young
yeah.
age all the way through, so they can tell as
and
well.
And you walk off the pitch, and you see your parents on the side, and they know. You know, my dad would know. Like, there's this picture, and my mum took it, and I'd walk off and always see my dad and give him a hug or whatever. Because my brother's disabled, he would always they'd always be pitch side, get really good seats because of his wheelchair. He'd get the best parking ever with the handicaps. So he'd get the best seating ever, and they'd always be close. And I remember coming off, and my dad just looked at me and. My mum knew, and it's like he is no longer happy yeah. to be a rugby player. He needs yeah. to stop. You know?
Guys, we're gonna have to bring this conversation back up to
no,
a
it.
Positive
the
level now.
Yes, we will. Now. Sorry,
I mean,
it's my fault.
Yeah, no, it's not. We're all in the same boat here. But what type of sort of former rugby player do you think you're going to be now? Are you going to be one that just keeps fit non-stop, or are you going to
yes.
take a bit of time off, get fat?
I promised my wife.
Ooh, I even said
I
it.
I promised my wife this because I've always had to eat.
I mean, she married the body, didn't she? She didn't.
Well, you'd think. So I said to him, like,
if she wanted to chat, she'd have married your brother because he looks the same. He's
yeah.
got the rig.
I said, I finished now, and I've always had to eat more to be heavier. So I'm like, right, ignore the face now, love. Like, don't mean this at all. So I'm like, yeah, chuck a bag on the head, but I'm gonna go for the Instagram bod now. I'm not gonna put it on Instagram, but I'm like, right,
what's
I'm gonna
it?
Get abbed up, I'm gonna get lean. So I'm
what's
like,
what's the point in doing it then if you're not gonna put it on there?
I don't want to show off. Yeah. I've never been a top off kind of person anyway.
Tease them a bit.
But yeah, I said to her, like, right, I'm training like 6 times a week now. I'm going
really?
Flat out. Yeah, I'm counting my calories and everything, you know. So I'm like,
well,
going
you have
hard.
To be a little bit more careful.
Were you like that?
I would like that. Yeah. No, not really.
I didn't count them when I got paid. To count them like now.
It's yeah, I mean it's hard, isn't it, you know, trying to keep fit when you retire, because
yeah,
you know, before you pay to do it, you know.
Yeah,
so
well,
you pay to eat, you know, you pay to eat the right things, you pay to train every day, and when you've got to do it on your own time mixed
yeah.
in with work,
the
you
key
know, that
the
has to take a back
yeah.
step sometimes.
But I found the key is to I found everyone's different. Like, if you are a machine who loves training, fine, but you got to find a version of training that you really enjoy.
Yeah.
So find something you enjoy. If that's going long runs, lots of lads do, good on you. If that's doing sprints, even though you're 40 years old and you don't need to
yeah.
be fast anymore, fine. If that's weights, whatever. But looking at you now, Warby, it's early days, but it doesn't look like you've let yourself go too badly.
No, like I said, I still train 6 times a week, and like I was up 7 o'clock this morning training, and Robinson Taylor, ex player,
Ion Gym,
we played with Ion down in Cardiff, really Manishan. Good gym.
Membership
yeah.
still available.
Last few remaining.
Yeah. Yeah. So I train down there a lot because they, you know, I like a lot of it's like the rugby stuff, a lot of circuits and stuff like that.
You like
that.
The circuits, not just weights.
I'm never going to run ever again.
Yeah, good
I
man.
I hate running.
Yeah,
I hated running. I always say when I finish playing, I'm never going to run voluntarily ever again,
yeah.
unless I'm, you know, I need to like
charity get your knighthood
my daughter or something.
Unless you got the knighthood,
yeah. So yeah, I still train flat out because I was a gym monkey. Shanks, you remember when I come through? I was a gym monkey coming through the system.
Yeah,
I love
yeah,
it
yeah.
anyway.
Everyone loves it.
Yeah, so
well,
I still
do.
Keep.
If they
training.
Don't love the gym, they're weak.
Yeah,
yeah, they're not strong.
It's because they're not strong enough.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, no, I'll be training flat out still. Yeah, I love it. Yeah,
just want to show the veins off as well today, didn't you?
Well, but there's no cameras, is there?
Oh, we'll talk something. I'll yeah. do a selfie.
I'm very summery today. I got white trainers on and like a nice summer top. I looked at my app yesterday, it says it's going to be 24 degrees in Cardiff today. So I packed my bag ready for 24 degrees and it's overcast. So
not
I'm not
quite
just,
yet.
Yeah.
Still pack your bag the night before?
I still have to have that routine. I pack my bag the night before, I get my kit ready, I get up.
So that's the difference. Yeah. That's the difference. That's why I never made it, because I just didn't care enough.
Didn't pack your bag.
I really when I played games, I really tried hard. And when I truly tried hard, but it was like, pack your bag the night before. Nah, Jonathan Ross is on.
Yeah, the bodyguard's on.
Johnny Depp's on. Oh, Jonathan Ross. I'll stay up till midnight. Thanks.
Do you not watch it?
Well, I've been told it's good to watch.
Last night's episode was really good.
Apparently, it's brilliant.
Yes.
She was really angry with me last night because I was wrestling a bar of fruit and nut, and she was listening to it that intently. So it must be good. But
Someone breathing or eating something. Oh, I couldn't make a noise when I'm.
Yeah, I couldn't make a noise. Apparently, it's made me really good.
But there's a movie that you know, Nick Wood, the old Gloucester prop. From the old days, he played Bald Eddie.
Yeah.
So he's a friend of mine, and he texted me about 4 years ago or a few years ago and said, there's a film, you should never say this to anybody, but there is a film that I know you're going to love. Because as soon as you say that, it'd be boring, it'd be rubbish. Yeah. It's called The Guard, about an Irish policeman. You've seen it, Tommy, haven't you? And it's got Brendan Gleeson in, the guy from In Bruges, big Irish guy. He said, watch it, but do me a favour, make sure you watch it on your own or in silence. Whoever's with you is not allowed to talk, nothing. Yeah. Because you'll miss it. And I watched it, and I'm thinking, it can never be as good as someone says it is. And I texted him back and said, that is the best, my favourite film of all time.
I haven't seen it. So
it's really good. It's an
that.
Irish film.
I'll watch that.
I called it a British film. Brilliant, it's not British, it's Irish. But that's why it's reckon some of the series on Netflix and Amazon are really good, because of their foreign films, the subtitles. Because it makes you watch it.
Yeah, like Fowder. Phone,
like Fowder. Like Gomorrah.
Yeah. You know, that's good.
Some Gamora's really good ones, but because it's subtitled, you know, you can't mess around. You have to follow.
Well, I was
it.
Like that with Game of Thrones. I understand it. I put subtitles on because I have to know every single detail. You know, you can't hear a pin drop when you're watching that.
I do that with Harry Potter, just so I know the spells.
I like that with Game of Thrones. Yesterday, you know, Mark Durden-Smith, who the Channel 5 stuff with, he revealed yesterday that he's never watched Game of Thrones.
Oh my!
And
goodness.
it's like someone. It's like the bloke next door to you winning the Euro Millions. So I envy you. I envy you so aggressively, so unattractively jealous, because you can start again.
I don't like fiction, but I love
same,
Game of Thrones.
Exactly the same.
Yeah, yeah.
Love it. Yeah. Love it.
So what are you going to be up to now? We've seen a couple of things in social media about what you're going to be doing media-wise.
Yeah. I'm involved a little bit with some TV stuff, you know, which
is... Doing the boys' jobs.
I actually quite enjoy that anyway.
See... You didn't want a job anyway, did you, Shanks?
No, I'm happy doing what I'm doing.
Is Nugget going to be all right? Is he on the old...
Oh, we're teammates again now, aren't we? Yeah. Teammates again.
Mate,
yeah.
I just saw Nicky Robinson outside, didn't we? And I said, poor old Nugget, poor old Martin Williams, Warby's nicked his job. He said, yeah, Nugget straight on the old rock and roll, he said.
Oh, no.
I think Nugget will be all right.
Yeah, he'll be all right. He's good. So do a little bit of TV stuff and then, hopefully stay involved with... Nothing's been sorted yet, but stay involved in some sort of capacity with both the Blues and WIU.
Oh, cool.
A little bit of grassroots stuff, maybe?
I quite like the... I say express an interest. I quite like the... That gap... Oh,
sorry.
Tom.
I quite like the gap, the academy lads, you know. So when people say, do you want to coach? I'm like, oh, I don't know about coaching at top level again. I mean, on a Sunday, I'll be honest, I don't want to be analysing 5 hours of rugby on a Sunday.
So time-consuming, isn't it?
Very much time-consuming. And
if you're not passionate about it, dull.
Yeah.
It's dull.
Yeah. But I think if I had to coach the academy age group boys, you know, who make that transition from semi-pro or whatever to pro rugby, that would be quite interesting. But I don't really know at the minute, so I just keep my options open.
So it's one of those things where your agent's Durbin, isn't it?
Yeah.
Lovely bloke. Yeah, enormous human being. But too big for any room in England.
Oh, he is. He ducks through every house.
Yeah, he's enormous, yeah. He's going to live in Holland. You know, they're the tallest people in the world, the Dutch.
Really?
Officially. Yeah, he's going to live in Holland. Anyway, but Big D, is it a case that a lot of people are keen for you to turn up and talk about stuff and you could probably be in your tux, you know, three or four nights a week in London? So it's actually about, well, yes, in the short term, that's nice because that... You know, that's you've got to earn a living.
Yeah.
But actually, you've got to measure it out a bit and start picking and choosing a bit.
All that stuff. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff like that going around. But like you also said, it's not rewarding to talk about how good you used to be. I don't mind doing it once every now and then if it's around international campaigns. But I did it for a little bit last year, and after a while, I was like, I'm already a bit bored of this. You know. Yes.
I mean, that will always come because you know you're double Lions captain. You know, so there's always going to be a want for that.
But but it'll always be there, but I guess it's picking and choosing. I know Lewis Moody said the same to me. I saw him driving through Bath one after he'd retired, and he said, I'm just on my way to do my third dinner in 3 nights in London. Oh. And he stopped doing it.
Yeah.
And basically, he was England captain, he won the World Cup, that sort of stuff. So he's got a great story.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. He actually said to me, I don't know how you do so many dinners. I was like, it's completely different. I'm not.
You're hosting.
I'm hosting. No one invites me to talk about when I was good in 2003 at scrummaging against Northampton. I mean, no one cares.
Phil Christopher's right. for a try against
Phil
Argentina.
Christopher's in Buenos Aires, a play of the year. LeBron, give it to LeBron. So, but like, no, but it's completely different. So yeah. I'm there to interview people like you. Yeah. So it's not unrewarding for me to hear about you. It's you talking about. So it's a completely different job.
Yeah.
And I can see where you're going, and that's why I think you end up with guys like, you know, the English equivalent of you might be a Jono. Jono just doesn't do that much of that stuff because, you know, yes, you need to earn a living, but actually I'd rather be happy than have a bit more money and hate what I'm doing.
And basically what we're saying is that if you don't want Sam, Flats and I will do it. No problem.
I mean, that game I'm talking about in 04 against Saints, God, we took them to the cleaners, boys. Took them to the cleaners.
We've got loads of questions that people have tweeted in for you. I think we should probably...
I don't mind answering anything, so yeah, it's going to surprise me.
Right, I should look at this as well, shouldn't I, Tom? Yeah. I'm a professional, and it's sort of a joint podcast.
Here's a good one from Luke Smith on Twitter. It says, best and worst rig in the current Welsh squad.
Oh, wow. I saw that one, actually. I was hoping... I'll answer for best.
You can go for best.
Well, he's not in the squad anymore, but he is a Welsh player. Rhys Webb is in fantastic shape.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Great, and he's got the tan to go with it.
Yeah, but what he does, it's like he paints himself like a bodybuilder tan.
Yeah.
Is he a jabber tan?
He shades himself.
Does he jab it?
It's Bregend, it is. You know, Bregend, oh, yeah. Bregend,
Lee,
yeah,
Lee Burnt, as we call him. we did. Remember, we came down and did that that video in the Welsh camp. Flats and I did a video in the Welsh camp, and Rhys Webb said he would be on it only if he could take his top off. he was that confident.
He sent me a message the other day. And
he's even got, he's got no hairs or anything. He's hairless. He's
completely hairless. He sent me a message, a DM on Twitter the other day, and he's like, obviously the first message was, can you still get discounts on those bags? I was like, no, I can't. Then he feels guilty and he's like, anyway, how are you? No, but no.
I hope the family are well. Cheers, mate.
How are you, Flaps? No, it's not Flaps. But then he's like, when are you and Shanks coming over on tour to do a little feature on us? And I said, well, come if you get the rig out. And he said, the rig is more than ready. I was going to start getting some naughty pics.
He's always been in good shape, to be fair to him.
Worst rig? No one's really got that bad rig.
Everyone's pretty deep. I mean, like, yeah, you're obviously going to go towards the props.
Of course you are.
But they've got to be heavy, so it's a little bit of a...
Thomas Francis has not got an Instagram body.
Well, yeah, of course. He's going to admit himself he's not got abs. Of course he haven't. Do you know what I mean?
But he's a massive unit.
But he's a mohawk. Out of scrum.
Rhys Thomas, former hooker, not
prop.
He had a pretty terror body. He didn't have a bum. You know, it was just like a slit in his back.
Back of the crack.
It's like someone had just... Right, you don't have a sphincter. We'll just put a scalpel right down it like that.
We got a boy in the blue, Scott Andrews in the Blues, Bubba we call him.
Oh, yeah.
His nickname is Snake Ass.
Oh, I love that. That's
brilliant. It's a good one.
You know Justin Harrison, good, the old Justin, the second row, the Aussie second row.
Yeah.
Well, he's 6'7". And he's an absolute streak of piss. Like, he's skinny. He's got no rig at all. And he's super long, and he's just got a big gut, and he calls himself the pregnant snake.
I heard one the other day, Fortnite arms. You heard of that?
No.
Fortnite arms.
Fortnite arms, what's that?
2 week arms.
I like it. Right, here's a question from Philippa Andrews on Twitter. And so what two back row players of all time would you most like to play with? So let's do one... Let's do one from your Wales days. So what's your favourite Welsh back row? And then let's do maybe of all time, or I might, Philippa, if you don't mind, I might take licence and say of guys you've played against or with. So let's do guys you've played for Wales with.
Oh, the two best guys I've played with.
And then two best guys you've played against you'd like to play in the same team
in
as.
In the height of their powers, I'd say the one was in 2012, Dan Lydiot, because that's when you got Player of the Six Nations. And
the
that's
chopper,
when
the chopper.
Defensively, was just like no one's come close to him yet. So he was awesome to play, and he made me look good. Like, you know, he was
the
for a couple of years.
Work, isn't it? It's always balanced.
I used to watch you guys play, and it was literally like you were hovering around. You're hitting people too, but you're looking for ball to Nick, and he's like, he is literally putting ball on a doormat in front of you.
I would have
straight down as well. So you
bang,
over
chop,
it.
And you're nicking ball for
2011, 12, 13. I would have probably won more turnovers at the end of the year because I just played more rugby with him. So I literally, if I'm folding around the corner and he's in the defensive line, I just hang around behind him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just wait, and then if he makes a tackle, then you can fly in. But yeah, so Dan Lindy was great to play with for me from that point of view. And then probably the most gifted one I played with, who's still around now, obviously, is Toby Faletta. Yeah. Was just, mate, he does everything.
Yeah,
he does everything. He's I can't speak highly enough of him. He's up there with Kieran Reid with me. So yeah, it's Dan and
it's
Toby.
Funny because you meet him, obviously you met him many times, and he's not. That doesn't matter that he's quiet and shy and all that sort of stuff, but physically, like, you know, without blinds, you walk in and you've got massive pipes. You got, you know, you kind of look at it. You've got a big neck, all that sort of stuff. Toby Faletta looks like a slightly bigger than average. Yeah. Bloke who could be a car mechanic.
Yeah, don't know, like he's 6'3" still, and he's obviously not a small bloke. But you see like the Tuolangis, for example.
Yeah.
But the thing with Toby, I remember I played against him once, and I remember the first time he ran into me, and I was like, oh, I just go for a bit of a soak up here. Oh my
steel,
god,
man, he's made of iron.
Well, yeah. You can see it off a kickoff, right? He'll always break that first tackle.
Yeah.
I tackled him, and it was one of those ones where I was disorientated for about 3-4 seconds because it was a hell of a whack. He's just so deceptively powerful. He's just genetics, isn't it? But yeah, Toby's brilliant.
So, in terms of guys you've played against, so you can put yourself at 6 or 7. Who do you want at?
Oh, Pocock. I always say Pocock.
Same age, aren't you?
Yeah, same age. Both 88. Yeah, born 88. So we played 20s against each other, and not against each other. We didn't cross paths. We were in the same Junior World Cup and stuff. And Pocock. Oh my goodness, so difficult to play against as a 7.
I mean, he was so good in the Blenslow Cup. A couple of weeks ago,
you see the video. There was someone compiled a video of all the hits he took at breakdowns, Pocock, in that game. Oh, some of them legal, some of them not. Some of them textbook, some of them not. And it's like
is that a poem.
Yeah, and then he had, and then he ate a bag full of snot to stop the rot, and then went to sleep in his cot. Why not? So, yeah, hot to trot. Anyway,
with his dog spot.
But he was, it was brutal, absolutely brutal.
Yeah, like when I play against any 7, I always think I'm going to have, you know, the making of it. That's just what you think. But then when I played against Pocock, I always thought, "Whoa, right, I'm going to have to be on my metal here just to be at his level." You know, I thought he was that good. Excellent.
David Speed has asked a question. Probably Speedy is probably his nickname. In 3 years, who can you see being the next Lions captain?
Very good question.
Farrell, maybe?
Farrell for me would be the obvious choice, yeah. But it just depends. If he's at 10, I don't like captains at 10 because they got so much to do anyway.
Yeah, I think that. Yeah,
they got so much. They're basically like, you know, they're the quarterback effectively, you know, and you know, they got the whole playbook on their mind. So you don't want them worrying about. They want to go out and practice their kicking for a game. You don't want them worrying about the coin toss and all that stuff and chatting to the boys. But yeah, Farrell would be the best candidate.
Have you had any coin toss nightmares, like where you've gone to toss it and it just?
I remember, well, Nugget, Martin Williams, he always told me Wales, tales for Wales never fails. obviously, 50-50 it does, but my 49 games as captain for Wales, every single time I went tails, you know. And even there was photographers or cameramen who, like, you start to recognise when they're there, or even referees. And I go to do the coin toss and they're like, tails? I'm like, yeah. They just knew I was going to call tails.
Do you think it matters at this level now? Because there's not really that much of an advantage, especially when you're playing top level, because there's no real win anymore because the
stadiums
are
enclosed. It makes the, you know, all you do is, it's easy, right?
Do you have a favourite way to play in Principality Stadium?
The only thing you do when you're in a place which has no wind is you take kick off so you can put a kick long and try and bury someone. That's literally it, and try and get yourself in the game and try and get a line out 40 out so you get the first attacking line out. That's the only reason. It makes no difference. It makes absolutely no difference the outcome of a game, the toss of a coin. So I don't really care about coin tosses, you know. Like, yeah, the wind can have a bit of a factor, really. But it's the same for both teams.
Do you ever do an aggressive catch above the head?
No, I got a bit nervous.
You've got to grab it like that, same hand.
A couple of times, like, I did do the coin toss. Normally the referee will just flick it, but when I played against McCaw for the first time, so I was like 22 or whatever, 21 even, probably 21. 16. And he was obviously like a hero of mine. We were playing at home, so like, oh, Sam, you know, toss the coin. And I was like a little bit nervous and it was a shit toss as well. But I got a little bit nervous on my younger days doing it, but as you get older, you just think, right, let's just get this done
with. If you can't toss a coin, then where have you been? Like, my mate Bubs, he can't even toss a coin.
Can he?
No, he just puts it on his thumb and throws it in the air. I'm doing the actions now. I don't know why, because you can't even see it.
My 8-year-old can toss a coin. That's pathetic. Question from Andrew Thomas, and I don't actually know the background to this, but it was, because I haven't read it. Thoughts on Stuart Barnes' comments in the Sunday Times about you and the Jackal or something. Have you read it?
I haven't seen that, sorry, no.
No, I haven't. Tell you what, you carry on reading.
Yeah, find it. Yeah, see what you're exactly.
Have you ever deliberately stitched anyone up on tour? The best roommate.
One of the best gags that used to happen on tour was like, this one happened to the Scarlets, a particular example. But like, if you're quite new, well, I remember when I was new at the Blues, and like, you got to get your food at the canteen, and we had, remember Mo? You remember Mo Shanks? And I know what you think.
Someone set up a Twitter account for her, didn't they?
That's right, yeah. So she was a lady. Oh, she was lovely. Older lady, lovely. You know, did all our food for us, and I was like, I was obviously new into the Blues, and I got like a pint of squash in one hand, I got my plate in the other. I was waiting for her to put my meat on the plate, and then one of the boys just whacked everything down in front of her, and I got nothing to pull my shorts back up with. And she was like, "Don't worry, love, I've seen it all before, it's fine." So there's all those initiations. The best one was, I heard the Scarlets boys were in the airport, and they got this on video, it was brilliant. So the boy was going through security or whatever, loads of people around, whacked his pants down. So it's like they sort of double teamed him, they whacked his pants down, but then they stood on his pants at the same time. Yeah. So obviously you bend over to pull your pants up instinctively. So
of course you do.
So your ass is out, so you're bent over. You can't pull your pants up because one of the lads is standing on your pants.
Style.
And then simultaneously, as you're bent over, a guy comes in front of you and pulls his T-shirt over his head. So he's in the middle of the airport with his basically naked, and he can't move. And it's that was horrendous.
I might mention this one before. One of the best ones you got was Scott Morgan. Scott Morgan was a back row, second row. He played at Leeds, I think, a little bit. He was at Cardiff, and he's got a company called NutriVend now. So they put sort of healthy vending machines into gyms and
what have you.
Anyway,
terrible idea.
We played in Beer Itz, and on the way back, I wrote a little note to give to the air hostess to give to the captain, and the captain did his sort of 35,000 foot speech after sort of 20 minutes in the air. He said, "We've just had a call actually from Beer Itz Airport, who have been contacted by Beer Itz Rugby Club to say that Scott Morgan has left his legs in the change rooms. they're going to be couriered over and should be with you in a couple of days."
Wasn't it true? Somebody told you, I don't know if it was you or Alfie, Gareth Thomas.
It wouldn't
be. He said he used to be on a, whenever he used to go on the plane, not all the time, but once every now and then, he'd be on the plane with the Blues or whoever he played for. And he'd leave his belt deliberately undone, because obviously the air stewardesses have to make sure everyone's belts are done up. He'd put a banana in his pants, but pretend he was asleep. So she'd have to clearly point at and say, "Sorry, sir, you need to put your belt on."
Yeah, that was Jamie Robinson used to do
Jamie
that.
Robinson.
Alfie didn't need to do that.
No, he
didn't need to.
Born with a banana, excellent. Yeah. The article, by the way, is you've said something about the jackaling.
Yeah.
And Stuart Barnes disagrees with it. But what did you...
Surprise,
he loves
surprise.
You and he's very nice about you, by the way. But what did you say about basically how exposed the Jackalers are?
Basically, I said... Stuart Barnes must know a lot about jackaling, to be fair. what I said was that I think there's a lot of tackle law changes to try and stop concussions and injuries and stuff like that. But if you actually think of how vulnerable a jackal player is... If you disagree with me, right... Mm. Bend over, pick up your car keys, and let Nick Williams, who plays the Blues, run into the back of you and hit you as hard as he can.
Yeah, and as Stuart Barnes says, peel your hamstring off the bone.
And then tell me that you shouldn't protect the jackler. That's all I'll say. If anybody doesn't think you should protect the jackler, do that, for example. And you can maybe have three players simultaneously flying to the back of you. But unless you've been in that position, you don't know.
Yeah. Do you think there should be some sort of padding created for around that neck and back area?
That's a good point, actually.
We have shoulder pads, but because when you're in that position, it's the top of your neck, and sort of the top of your back, which is really badly exposed.
That's actually a really good point. I never thought of that. Yeah,
but then you've got. I suppose everyone's got to wear it because everyone jackals now.
Yeah.
Whereas I never ever jackal because I knew my shoulders were dislocated if anyone hit them, so I couldn't do it. But like, so what are you suggesting in terms of protecting?
I think like you never go. I don't want to get rid of the jackaler because you need turnovers to make the game exciting. But I think when you're, I don't want to sound all techie now. Say like when you're doing. You're in your own 22 and you need to box kick. You can't only have two players in a ruck then because your nine's going to get charged down.
Yeah.
So you need like maybe four players to protect your nine. But I think maybe you could have a rule like from 50 yards out from a try line. So when you're attacking, you can't commit more than two players to a breakdown. So basically, there is a jackaler. He is only going to get hit twice. And plus, it puts better emphasis on the clean out because your clean out has to technically be better. So you're not just going to try and just melt someone. You're going to actually try and be technical. And so I watched the Ospreys on the weekend. And if you want to see a good technical clean out, watch Justin Tipperick because he's not the biggest guy. But the way I teach to clean out a jackal, you don't need to go smacking him in the back of the neck. You like, you want to get him off his feet, so you've got to basically just pull a leg. So you come in at like a 45 degree angle and just get his leg off the floor and just tip him. Tip him to the side.
Hooks and handles.
Hooks and handles. Like, you know, it's old school, isn't it? But that's the most effective way to clean out a jackler, get him off his feet. It's not smoking him in the back of his neck. That sometimes actually reinforces the jackler and makes you stronger.
Yeah.
So
I
don't know, little rule subtleties like that, I think. And it puts more emphasis on the technique of the clean out as well.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I remember you play with certain guys who are so... so big and strong, like your Nick Williams types, that yes, they need a bit of technique, but really they're genetic freaks and they can just bash people
off
the ball.
They're not going to technically learn. All they need to do is run into a ruck and hit it as hard as they can, and 9 times out of 10 you're gone.
But I remember even playing at club level, Nick Abendanen, who's the fullback, was just the best clearer outer in the squad for years. I mean, he was brilliant, tiny little bloke, not that strong, just brilliant technique. So he'd almost get his head under yours and dig you out and drive you out with great body position and that sort of stuff. And he was a model to everyone, but then you get big blokes who are tired.
Yeah,
it's a big effort for Nick Williams to get down low and practice perfect technique because he weighs 30 kilos more than Tipperick.
Yeah,
so they will just bash you. And I remember certainly when people were jackaling, it was, I remember being a, you know, like everyone else, being a 19, 20 stone bloke, taking a run up as hard as I could, shoulder, back of the neck, because that'll dissuade you.
Yeah,
you
look at it and think, you still see people flying in and going,
worse now.
I think any, if they really want to stamp that out, anyone who's off their feet at the breakdown potentially could be a penalty against.
I tell you what got me off the ball.
If you want to protect the jackler. Yeah.
Playing against teams like a lot of the Southern Hemisphere teams, I got my nuts pulled hard a few times. I tell you what, I let go faster than you could.
Works, doesn't it?
Oh my God, that gets you off the ball. Like, I'm not saying do that, but no. Jesus, that got me off the ball.
We had a coach once that says, boys, I won't tell you who it was because this is really bad, but he said, all men are worried about losing their nuts, but they're more worried about losing their eyeballs.
Oh,
he said, just a hand on the face,
awful,
mate. He's not
that's
telling
awful.
You to gouge. He's like, a hand on the face, mate.
Just to
they'll let go.
Out.
You can't run without your eyes.
Can't run without. He used to say, say you can't run without your eyeballs, boys. Like, you technically can, but you go the wrong way.
Oh, God.
But I mean, but it used to be.
Yeah.
At
you get away with that. Yeah.
At all costs, get them off the ball because that's your job.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
It was a different time. That's what you say to justify bad behaviour, isn't it?
Yeah.
It was a different time.
I'm on my phone now. I'm not even looking at any questions. I'm just deleting all the German numbers from my phone. I'm now hands-free.
I was wondering where this is going.
Oh, mate. Why'd you have to do that, Tommy? Why'd you have to do that? So this week, right, it's Monday morning. We're in Cardiff. What are you doing this week? What does this week look like? Because the season started again.
This
so you're not on holiday
anymore. Last question. We're ending on this.
Yeah, I know, but I want to know what the week
I do
looks
as well.
Like.
Yeah, let's have a look now.
Should we just ring Derwin and see what you're doing?
Yeah, right. So I'm just getting up my Google Calendar now. I'm on the Google Calendar.
Arms tomorrow, 21s.
So yeah, see, it's morning. train this morning, 7 o'clock. I met one of the ex-boys just before this, had a coffee. Flats and Shanks, Ball Lake podcast. No, sorry, Shanks and Flats and Shanks podcast.
Well, you got right
that's
all.
Yeah, it's always Flats first.
No. So yeah, see you boys then. Tuesday, day off. Wednesday, dentist. Thursday, a bit of charity stuff in the morning. A little bit of stuff for the WRU. Mate, that's it. That's it this week. I got a nice quiet week this week.
Well, well,
that's a great week.
Bit of Premier Sport the weekend?
No, so far I've only agreed.
I'm lucky,
I'm
mate.
Doing a few
I'm
games
going.
For them. Yeah, I know. You obviously got the nod over me then.
Got the big gig, mate. I'm an eye.
Who's playing?
Dragons v Kings.
At home.
Good stuff, mate.
Yeah,
well done.
Thank God.
Yeah,
it's gonna
be a massive tune in. Premier Sport.
They're
right?
They're two of those teams that last season I would say, Tommy, I don't want to be too disrespectful, but they were so bad at winning games last season, those two teams, that actually it might be a draw.
No, I think you're wrong, mate. I think you're wrong. I think out of all the games they played between them, winning three is pretty good. I think it's going to be an epic.
Who did the Kings beat?
Dragons.
Right.
No, it will be a good game. Evenly matched. All right, so but a nice week for you then.
To be fair, that's quite quiet, actually. I haven't got too much stuff on, but I have been picking up the clubs a little bit and doing a little bit of golf.
Nice
training,
to see you, mate. I told you about that.
And being a good dad as well, looking after the little one. She's not in school yet, so she's obviously home every day.
Yeah.
So, yeah, looking after the little one as well.
That's nice.
Oh, well, it's great to have you back on the show. Thank you so much for taking time out. Yeah.
Thanks
week
for asking.
Your busy schedule.
Yeah.
we could have picked any day, any time. Yeah, I'm free. Yeah.
We'd love to get you back on soon.
Love to.
Cheers, Wolby. Well
thanks, boys. Nice one.